Praise the Lord. Well, this next message is on the essence of the Bible. So we already heard a wonderful word from our dear brother Darren earlier about the origin of the Bible. We learned about some wonderful statistics that are related to the Bible that help us to see that this book is unlike any other in all of human history. This book is unmatched because the source and the origin of this book is God Himself. And so now we want to see the essence of the Bible. The essence. So this word essence means the real or true nature of something. So we want to see the real or true nature of the Bible. This is the essence of the Bible. So just like you could say the essence of this beautiful fireplace is stone. This is what it is, the true and real nature of this thing. Or the essence of this chair is wood. That's the true and real nature of this thing. We want to see the essence of the Bible, the real, true nature of the Bible, because it is, again, unlike any other book in all of human history. You know, I got to know Git a little bit upstairs. Git is a freshman at UNO studying accounting. And so you're going to spend a lot of time in accounting books, right? And the nature, the essence of those books, very different from the essence of the Bible. Because all those accounting books, they contain something, right? Which is the knowledge of accounting. The Bible is not merely a book filled with knowledge. The Bible is a container of the Lord who is the Spirit, right? Darren mentioned a verse earlier, John 6:63, and we'll also come to it in this message, where the Lord said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." So the essence of the Lord's word is spirit and life, both of which are just God Himself. Amen. So whereas those accounting books contain the knowledge of accounting, the Bible actually contains and conveys God Himself. Amen. It's wonderful that the Lord has given us a precious book through which we can receive, know, and enjoy the most precious person in the universe, who is our wonderful triune God. Amen. You know, I was considering this verse, Haggai 2:7, before I came up here. Because my burden really is, I want us just to love the Lord Jesus more. Amen. I want us to hunger for the Lord's word even more. Amen. You know, and so even there's this prayer in the Old Testament where I think it was a prophet said, of the Lord, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, release a hunger into the land for a hearing of the words of Jehovah." Amen. And that's really my burden, is that the Lord would increase our appetite for His word, because it is by our prayerfully getting into His word, He is reconstituting us to make us the same as He is. Amen. In life and in nature. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word of God is really wonderful. And I was considering this verse, Haggai 2:7, where it says that the Lord is the desire of nations. It's a precious verse showing us our dear Lord, this precious person that has appeared to each one of us, right, that we've fallen in love with, that we have been joined in a marriage relationship to, this precious one is the desire of nations. Amen. That means all the nations on the whole earth, what are there, over 260 countries or something like that? Every person, really, whether they know it or not, desires the Lord Jesus. Amen. All the nations desire the Lord Jesus. Because why? Well, every human being wants to be loved, right? And every human being wants to love. Every human being wants to experience this reciprocal fellowship and enjoyment and experience of a loving relationship. Well, the Bible tells us God is love. So if you have God, you have love. If you don't have God, you don't have real love. You have a cheap imitation that runs out and that becomes conditional. Anyway, our wonderful Lord is the desire of the nations. And he has gone through an incredible process by which he has made himself available to the uttermost. So initially, you know, God dwelt in unapproachable light. No man could approach him. In our fallen and sinful condition, if he were to appear before us, we would just, who knows, explode, disintegrate. He dwelt in unapproachable light. You can't approach it. He's the holy and righteous God. We were fallen, sinful people. But the Lord loves us to the uttermost. And so even though we were fallen and sinful, he would not give up his desire or intention to join himself to us, right? So what he did is he came as a man. 2,000 years ago, this wonderful man named Jesus Christ, he is the incarnation of the triune God. A verse that we will also get to later on is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh. So God became a man. This is our precious Lord Jesus. He lived a sinless life, so he was perfectly qualified to be our substitute in dying on the cross to accomplish redemption, paying the price for our sins so that we would not have to suffer the judgment and wrath of God. The Lord loved us so much, he bore that upon himself. And thus reconciling these fallen, sinful people to the holy and righteous God. And now, in resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. And as the Spirit, he could enter into these cleansed, redeemed, justified, reconciled human beings. So the Lord has gone through such a process so he can get into us, right? And not only that, so he's the Spirit within, like we heard, but we also heard that the Lord's words are Spirit and life. So the triune God that was embodied in the man Jesus and still is now also, you could say, embodied in the Word of God. So we have the Lord who is the living Word, and we have the Bible that is the written Word, and they match each other perfectly. And so the essence of the Bible is that, we'll get into some of these verses here. I just wanted to share that as a kind of introductory word. Now we'll come to the outline. We can read 2 Timothy 3:16 first. Well, first essence of the Bible is that it is the breathing out of God. Let's read this verse together. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. The essence of the Bible, the true and real nature, is that it is God's breathing out. You know, we read a verse earlier that our God is a speaking God. He's spoken of old in many portions and in many ways, but now, at the last of days, has spoken to us in Son. Right? So our God is a speaking God. And it's interesting, when you speak, you know, we were made in the image of God, right? We were made in God's image. So God is a speaking God, so he has made us, his creatures, human beings, a speaking creature, right? So we're completely different. We're very different from the animals in this capacity that we could speak. And when you speak, it's quite interesting. What happens is air leaves your lungs and passes through your vocal cords in your throat, which cause them to vibrate. And then your mouth, your lips, your tongue, your mouth articulates that vibrating air into intelligible sounds that we call words and sentences, right? So even our speaking is a breathing out, right? You breathe out when you speak. Our God is no different. He's a speaking God, and in his speaking, he's breathed himself out. And now, in the Bible, the essence of these words is that they contain God's very breath. And I really like what Darren said earlier. He breathed himself out so we can breathe him in. Amen. Right? I mean, as the Spirit, he's utterly available. You know, this is a little bit of a side note, but there's a wonderful verse. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says that we've been baptized into the Spirit, and we've been given to drink one Spirit. So by this, we are completely mingled with the triune God. In our baptism, we were put into him. You know, the Spirit, it's like the air. We're in the air right now. We're in the air, right? That's like a picture of the Spirit. We were baptized into the triune God, so we're in him. That's why Paul could say, in him we live and move and have our being. But not only that, he's in us. We were baptized into the Spirit. We were given to drink one Spirit. So we're in the Spirit, and the Spirit's in us. Completely mingled with the triune God. It's just like the air. In fact, the Lord created the air as a picture of himself. Yes. He created the air to show you what he can and wants to be to you. Right. That's what Paul said in Romans, that the beauty of creation testifies of the eternal glory, power, and divine characteristics of the Creator, right? And that they have been clearly seen since the beginning of time, so that man would be without excuse and know there is a Creator in this universe, right? Everything in creation is a picture of our wonderful triune God. And so he's the Spirit, and now the Spirit is embodied in the Word. So all Scripture is God-breathed. Romans 2, the Word of God is spiritual milk. This is 1 Peter 2:2. Again, we're looking at the essence of the Bible. Let's read this verse together. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the Word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. So not only can we breathe the Word in, but we can drink the Word. The Word is spiritual milk. It's the essence of the Word. It's the real and true nature, is that when we come to this book, we're not coming merely for knowledge or doctrinal understanding, but we're coming to breathe and we're coming to drink. Yes. To drink the pure, guileless milk of the Word. This is a precious, what is that, an adjective? Guileless? That's an adjective, right? Not very good at the English language. I think it's an adjective. Yeah. Guileless. This is a precious word because it means pure. It's pure. The Word of God is pure. It's guileless. It's the only thing in the universe, really, that is. That means it has no motive or intention other than to dispense God into you. Yes. That's the only reason. So every other writing that you encounter is full of guile. There's a hidden motive. There's a hidden intention. Just when we were coming here this morning, I saw a headline in a newspaper. And what I'm about to say is not for or against any particular political party. It's not for or against any particular politician. It was just my observation of what happened there, okay? So the headline on the newspaper, right there at the checkout counter in the gas station, Trump's shadow looms over the Missouri Senate race. It looms. This was the headline. Trump's shadow looms over the Missouri Senate race. Full of guile, right? Designed to give you a particular feeling, a particular taste, a particular inclination, right? The Word of God is guileless, pure, right? Precious, precious book, Lord Jesus. Roman numeral 3 is the word of God is spiritual food. Let's read Matthew 4:4 together. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Amen. So, wow, the word, we can breathe it in. We can drink it in. That causes us to grow in the Christian life, right? And we can eat the word as our spiritual food. You know, when we were regenerated, we received the divine life. The Lord is in us, his life. That's when we were born again. It happened in an instant. It was wonderful. Praise the Lord. But that's only the beginning, right? Now, we have to grow, develop, mature in the divine life. And so, you just had a daughter a couple of months ago, Eden, very precious little baby girl. I met her for the first time this morning. And so, praise the Lord, they were so happy when she was born, right? But would they be so happy if she remained at that size and stage and growth and development for the next 50, 60 years? No. So the baby has milk to cause it to grow so that there would be growth and development of the human life. So eventually she, you know, could do all the things that human beings could do, right? Similarly, we were born again. We were once babes in Christ. But now we're enjoying the word that's the spiritual milk that causes us to grow unto salvation. We're enjoying the word as our spiritual food. And so the Lord said in John 6 that he who eats me will live because of me. So if you don't read the Bible and take it in as your breath, as your food, as your drink, it is impossible to live the Christian life. Absolutely impossible. Because the Lord said, right, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And he said, everyone who calls his brother fool will be subject to judgment, right? And he said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him your left cheek also. Just very meek, not resisting, not fighting back. What human being could fulfill these commandments? Only the Lord Jesus, right? Only the Lord Jesus, because he lived it, right? He lived it. It's recorded. And now this wonderful one is in us. And he wants to live again in us. But the only way we can live Christ is like the Lord said, he who eats me will live because of me. As long as we are faithful by the Lord's mercy to take in the word every day, we can live a life that is impossible for other people to live. Because it is actually the Lord Jesus living again in and through us. Right? And it happens spontaneously. It happens effortlessly. You don't have to struggle and strive to try to be a good person. You just eat the word and there is a result and an issue, right? But I tell you, saints, a day without the word of God is a day of death. It is a day of vanity. It is an empty day, a lost day, right? As believers, we need to be in the word every single day. I mean, listen, right? We breathe the word, we drink the word, we eat the word. Do you go a day without breathing? No. If you did, try not to, right? If you did that, you'd be 6 feet under, right? Your life would be over. So we are dependent beings that really need to eat, drink, and breathe the Lord in his word, right? So Roman numeral 4, the word of God is spirit and life. This is John 6:63. Let's read this together. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Praise the Lord. The Lord's words are spirit and life. You know, so when you're studying those accounting books, right, you absolutely have to use the right organ, which is your mind, to study and understand, comprehend. That is the correct organ to use when you're engaging that material, because the essence of that accounting book is the knowledge of accounting. Well, we've seen the essence of the Bible is spirit and life, so we have to engage another organ. It's not that we don't use our mind, okay, but we have what the Bible calls a human spirit. Amen. And by engaging that word with our spirit, we receive spirit and life, right? So Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we're tripartite beings. He said, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. So we have a tripartite being, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And by engaging our spirit, by prayerfully reading the word, we receive spirit and life. And this is Ephesians 6:17, right? It says, receive the sword of the Spirit, which spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition. Amen. So receive the Spirit, which spirit is the word of God. So the Spirit is the word is the Spirit, by means of all prayer and petition. This is to pray, read the word. We contact the word in a prayerful way, by coming to the Lord as we come to the Bible, and then we just pray his word. So like as an example to this, I was reading in Isaiah 11 yesterday. Oh, precious, precious verses about the Lord's coming back. Oh my goodness, and what the scene will be like when he comes, and the restoration that will take place in this heap of collapse in which we currently live. And in Isaiah 11, talks about, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a young boy will lead them about. The cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the cobra's hole, and upon the viper's den the weaned child will stretch his hand. And then this verse, they will not harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. Amen. As waters cover the sea. So as I was reading this, I just prayed, Lord, fill the earth. Amen. With the knowledge of Jehovah. Amen. Very simple. I just prayed what the word said. It's an example of turning your reading into praying. This is pray reading. This is to receive spirit and life by exercising your spirit. And then lastly, Roman numeral 5, God is the word and the word is God. I believe we've covered that to a sufficient degree. And lunch is in 11 minutes. I know we're all looking forward to that. But I just want to share a couple other things because, you know, as we were praying, the brothers and I, we were praying this morning for all of you, dear ones here, and for our time together today. I was reminded of a verse that said, you know, the Lord does everything by his speaking. He's a speaking God, and everything is done by his speaking. I mean, he spoke the universe into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, and so he does everything by his speaking. And there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, his word does not return unto him vain or void. It accomplishes what he delights in. So God's word is the way for him to accomplish what he delights in. Because it's by our getting into the word in a prayerful way every day, he's reconstituting our being. Right? I so enjoyed that verse that Darren shared. I don't think I'd ever heard it before about the tongue being filled with the word or something like that. What was it? The tongue filled with the word? The spirit was in the tongue. The spirit was in the tongue, something like that. So we needed a reconstituted tongue, right? Was the prayer that you echoed there. The Lord is reconstituting us to be a heavenly people. And that's what you see in the history of the Israelites in their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, right? Initially, they were living in Egypt. They were fully Egyptian, just like everyone else. They even had Egyptian desires and inclinations. They were wandering in the wilderness saying, oh, I miss the days in Egypt, you know, where I had leeks and onions and garlic, right? They longed for the Egyptian things, but they were in slavery there in Egypt. And the Lord brought them out. And so what do? For 40 years, every day, what was on the menu? Manna, manna, manna. Every day, manna, same stuff every day, right? And then the Lord later said in the New Testament, that actually was a picture of me. I'm the real bread that came down out of heaven. He who eats me will live because of me. But it's because they needed to be reconstituted to be God's heavenly holy people, to be his unique, particular, precious treasure on the earth, to be his expression and representation. I know my time is up, and I'm sad that it is. Because I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Word. I love talking about the Lord. I love talking about the Word. But you know what? I'm not the only one here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a lot of precious members of the body of Christ that we're all here as learners, right? I appreciated what Darren said about we're all learners. We're all practicing. What an honor and a privilege we could be those who minister Christ as the life-giving Spirit. We can minister his words that are spirit and life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Amen. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Amen. So I'll sit down now, leave some time for others to share, and then we'll eventually have lunch.